Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Baseball playoffs continue. Two games last night, Dodgers and Brewers tonight. But let's head out to the Window Nation fan guest hotline where we had talked to our buddy, Oriole Hall of Famer, part of our BBT crew. Let's talk some baseball and some Orioles with Mike Bordick now. And Bordy, thank you as always for your time. So before we get to the playoffs, there is a Twitter rumor circulating that the Orioles are very interested in Ryan Flaherty as their next manager. Let's go down a hypothetical rabbit hole, Bordy. If the Orioles were to hire Ryan Flaherty as their next manager, how would Mike Bordick feel about it?
Oh, I feel great. Yeah, absolutely. As a matter of fact, we had Ryan Flaherty on the Be More Baseball podcast, and we talked about that. And, you know, he's been exposed, obviously, to the modern game, but he's an old-school baseball soul, man. He grew up in the game. His father was a great player up at the University of Maine, and now the coach at Southern Maine for years. I mean, I think he's been there for, you know, 30 or 40 years. So baseball's in his blood. He went to Vanderbilt. You know, there's that great Vanderbilt connection now in the major league. So he knows a lot of people in the game. I think he would be great. I think he was a fan favorite, you know, here when he played for the Orioles. His experience under some great managers, I think, is invaluable. And he's young enough where I think he'd just be a really good player's manager. And this is a young team, too, that I think they'd all just bond to him. And I think that it would be a great, great hire, if you ask me.
Well, let's get to the championship series games yesterday. But first, I wanted to get your thoughts on the casual 8-6-2 double play started by Sal.
How about that throw from Joey Ortiz?
That was crazy. Just what did you think of that?
What was Teoscar Hernandez doing?
Yeah, right.
Being Teoscar Hernandez.
Right. No, you know, interesting stuff obviously happens in the postseason, and you got to be ready for it all. I thought that was pretty impressive and exciting, but, you know, I get caught up, I guess, in the game and the strategies that happen and how, I guess, players respond under pressure because they all realize, you know, that they're under a microscope now. And every pitch, as much as we talk about it and preach about it, you know, throughout the course of a season, how every pitch and every inch matters. I mean, it is legit in the playoffs that everybody's watching, and the things that happen, you know, under pressure are pretty interesting. So I think it's been fun. There's been a lot of exciting and different plays already this postseason, so yeah, keep it going, keep us entertained. It's like Savannah Bananas.
Bordy, a lot of people from their couch saying Bryce Terang should have just let that sweeper hit him. Now I don't know, man. I think that's easier said than done.
Instincts.
Like, Trinan's wild. You've got years of instincts in protect yourself mode. And to me, it looked like he was coming more at the back leg than the front leg, which is probably even tougher to hang in there on. Like, look, swinging at the pitch above his eyes when this guy looked like he was dying to walk somebody else. Like, if we want to bang him for that, okay. But, like, is anybody really thinking, oh, just let me try to get hit by this pitch?
Right. No, not the normal guy. You know, unless you're Don Baylor and you
right. Make it hard out of it.
No, okay. I'm just not moving. Okay. Yeah. You said it. You said instinctual. And I think most of us, if a ball is coming at you, we'll flinch. We'll try to get out of the way. And then as it passes you, you think, dang, I probably should have let that ball hit me. But, you know, I mean, what if it breaks his kneecap or something crazy like that? I
Game's
mean,
still tied, Bordy. Juice worth the squeeze.
Yeah, exactly.
Take one for the team.
It's tough. Unless he goes up there premeditated saying, listen, this Trinan guy, he's a little erratic. I'm just going to hold my ground and take one if it comes at me. So you really have to have it, like, already in your mind that you're just going to lock in. Other than that, I think he's in swing mode. He's was obviously, but concentrating on that strike zone or something out over. And when it's coming at you, you just flinch and you get out of the way. Yeah, I know. When I saw that go, if he would have just let it hit him. But, yeah, easier said than done.
Is there one from your career that stands out or a couple?
As far as getting hit?
Yeah, did you ever catch it in the
No, never in the hurt.
Okay.
I got hit in the head a couple times.
Ooh, and,
I got hit in the chest one time, squared around the bunt.
Oh.
And the ball was just coming right at me. Got hit right in the chest. That was pretty fun, too, because I remember we were playing Kansas City.
Sounds fun.
This dude named Hippolito Pichardo.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember him.
Oh, fire and stuff, like three-quarter. And I square around the bunt, and here it comes coming at me. And it hits me in the chest. And I'm not kidding. When I go down, I think, I just thought I was dead. And then I heard the Royals dugout. He went after it. Oh, my gosh. I was so upset. I started swearing. Are you kidding me? Blah, blah, blah. Just screaming at those guys going down the first base line. But anyway. So, yeah. Getting hit is not fun. Mm-mm. That's for sure.
I'm talking to Mike Bordick. It's Inside Access here on the Fan. Bordick, are you buying the Seattle Mariners up 2-0 heading home? Could the Mariners be going to their first ever World Series?
Well, I guess so, man, because I was all hot and heavy on the Tigers. I thought they were going to push through there. I think if they would have let Skubal go the 15 innings that he wanted to go,
yeah.
they may have pulled that one out. But, heck yeah, man, you got a team believing in themselves a little bit more. And I think what's really cool, especially about postseason baseball, is sometimes there's these unsung heroes, man, that just emerge after – you know, struggling or whatever, but then they get on it, they just lock in. And every big leaguer is capable of it, but right now it's Polanco with the Mariners, man. I'll tell you what a series he's having, and that's kind of keeping this team alive and engaged, and they got some momentum going now going back home. That's pretty good, man. Either way, if the Tigers or the Mariners, you know, got in there, I was pretty happy, as long as the Yankees or the Red Sox aren't the team. So.
Do you give the Blue Jays any shot? And they got Bieber going tomorrow, and of course he really struggled against the Yankees last time out.
Yeah, you guys have to, just because of how good they've been, you know, all season long. But my goodness, the Mariners just keep rolling out these arms one after the other, man. I mean, they got a great starting rotation. Their bullpen, they just got dudes where you go, oh my gosh, I'm so glad I'm not standing in there. Yeah, so, the Mariners got some good things going. And you guys know, man, for years we just talked about, yeah, Mariners pretty good, but they got no offense.
Yeah.
And now if they get one or two extra guys with that offense in the mix, oh, boy. Well, you see what they can potentially do.
What are we thinking about my Milwaukee Brewers overall? Freddy Peralta on the mound today against Yamamoto. I'm convincing myself that they got into that Dave Roberts got into Sasaki's head a little bit by not giving him much of a leeway there. I still don't like the Dodgers bullpen. Can the Brew Crew plus 110 on the money line take care of business? Well, I like that bet, Bordy.
Wow. Oh, man.
Throwing a lot at
you.
I'm
not much of a betting man, okay?
Yeah.
But I'll tell you one thing right now. The Brewers are so for real. I mean, what a team that knows how
preach.
To
preach.
Not frauds, yeah. Bordy.
And they do it the right way, don't
yes.
they? They just play a really good brand of baseball, and it's just so it makes
refreshing.
Me want to pull for them. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Yes.
So, yeah, I like watching them play. I like watching them go about their business, and it's a fun team. So, man, they could have won that game last
yes.
night. It's just as easy as how they lost. So. Yeah, it's going to be a great series. And, I'm pulling for the Brewers for sure. You know, and I know we say, oh, the Brewers are an underdog. They're an underdog. No, they're more of a baseball team. That's what I like to say about them. They're a baseball team. Let's see who wins. Analytics or baseball? And well, I should say that because I've been saying the Dodgers are going to be the team to beat. They certainly are, as loaded as they are.
Bordy, during the playoffs, as you mentioned, there comes to be different heroes, and one of them for the Mariners in that bullpen is Edward Bizzardo, Oriole for life. Yeah. Edward Bizzardo, who made three appearances for the Orioles in 2023. Could you recount your favorite of those three appearances when Edward Bizzardo pitched for the Orioles, giving up four earned runs in 2 1/3 innings?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, isn't it crazy, right? So a lot of times it's where you are, the timing of your career, the guys you're around, your confidence that year you play. You know, it's just if you're lucky enough to stay healthy and, of course, you're good enough, you'll find a spot. And you'll have a nice run. And I think for the most part nowadays it's how many teams can get some of these players and catch lightning in a bottle. And that's what Bizzardo's doing right now. I honestly don't know that there's like a special pitching coach. I just think a lot of it is timing, confidence, and the ups and downs of the game itself, because there are a lot of big league arms out there and that should be having success, i.e. that Trinan dude we were just talking about. That guy's filthy as all get out, and how he gets hit or anything, it just blows me away. But good for Bizzardo. And it's sometimes the timing of it. And we've seen it here recently with the Orioles, too. I mean, Batista being the best closer in the game. Cionel Perez was a really good lefty for a minute. A lot of guys we've seen have their flash in the pan, and then they just kind of settle in. And every coach thinks they can get them going again.
Bordy, what's going on in the podcast?
Oh, man, so many great things. We had another very special guest on this week, the world famous Jeff Conine. Yeah, Mr. Marlin, one-time fan favorite here with the Orioles. And he gave us some great insight. He is, of course, back in baseball with the Marlins. Hallelujah for that. It was so bizarre that he was with the Marlins doing broadcasting stuff, and when Jeter and his crew came in there, the new ownership, they ran all the baseball guys out. Well, the new owner brought baseball guys back in. And, it's not a head scratcher to me that all of a sudden the Marlins started playing some pretty good baseball and gave some teams some fits this year. So, yeah, Jeff Conine back in the front office helping out, you know, the owner of the Marlins. So that's pretty exciting. He talked about his son, you know, playing for the Marlins, who's a great young player.
Griffin.
Griffin had an injury, separated his shoulder or dislocated his shoulder. So just talked about how he's working his way back, and of course some great stories about when he played here with the Orioles, one of my favorite teammates of all time. And I know Jeff Conine was a fan favorite, but his numbers and his story, I don't know if you guys are familiar with Jeff Conine's story. I know I'm rambling on. Ben, we're going to go to break in a second. Jeff Conine was drafted in like the 56th round as a bullpen pitcher from UCLA. The UCLA pitching coach took a job as a scout the year before with the Royals and said, even though he never had an at-bat with UCLA, I think the Bruins' best hitter was Jeff Conine. The Royals took a shot on him. He's a career 285 hitter, over 200 home runs, two-time All-Star, two-time World Series champ, Jeff Conine, ladies and gentlemen. That guy was just a great pro, man. He did it the right way, worked hard, and became a big leaguer. Just a great baseball story that sometimes I just don't think we get to see anymore in this game of baseball, but it was nice to share it with Jeff Conine.
Mike Bordick, you're the best. Thank you, as always, for your time. We appreciate it. We'll chat next week.
All right. Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me.
Coming up next, we spent a lot of time talking about this young core and can the bats get better in this roster, assuming it's just the guys that are here now. Can we see, as Bone put it, year-to-year improvement next year with these guys? Well, what about the hitting coaches? What do we think of this staff? We'll discuss Hot Corner next here.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm a fan. Orioles don't have a manager yet, but what about the rest
you
of the coaching staff?
Have one last year.
Yeah, that's a good point. Interim manager Tony Manzalino has not officially been told it's not his job, and some think he's going to keep the job. Alas, Mike Elias, what about the hitting coaches? What do you think of John Mabry, and are these guys coming back?
I think, first of all, with John, I thought he was a great addition to our staff. I think he provided a lot of baseball insight and a presence that was very helpful in stabilizing our season. I mean, our season got better. It wasn't, you know, what it really needed to be or should be in the second half, but I do feel like we stabilized in a good way and had some positive developments over the second half of the season, and John was a great contributor to that, and we've all really enjoyed working with him. I never use this press conference the day after the season ends, it's not even October yet, to announce any type of personnel moves, whether that's scouting, coaching, front office, anywhere in the organization. I just don't think that's fair. So we'll see how the pieces come together and what happens over the next couple of weeks, but that's all pressing business for our front office, as it always is after a season.
Well, it's now October 14th, and we still have heard nothing, but he said that they stabilized the hitting and a lot of positive returns.
Sounded to me in real time and hearing it again now that he is leaving the door open for making the case for why they should keep more of these guys around than not. Now, whether it turns out to be that case because they actually do get a real manager who wants, you know, experienced people and his guys, maybe it goes that way. But to me, they're having all their ducks in order saying, here's the case for running it back if they run it back. I think they want to run it back.
They've definitely left the door wide open for that. But he was...
What he said did not happen. This team got significantly
worse.
It's a
joke. They're gaslighting you again.
Yeah, I have all the numbers. Fourth most strikeouts in baseball. 24th in runs scored. 24th in on base. 21st in OPS. 19th in slug. Like, that's not a success.
They don't live in reality. They live in an alternative reality where they're always right, and they're convincing. They will go to any length to lie, deceive, whatever, to convince you that they know better, even when anyone who knows baseball knows they don't.
And something that you've been saying for years, Jason, this wasn't just a 2025 problem. It was 2024 and even beyond that. It was preached at the beginning of this regime. On base, get on base.
Swing
on
decisions. Base swing, like, elite swing decisions.
Their on base percentage over the past few years has been bottom 10.
And they strike out all the time.
Yeah.
They strike out last year. Yeah, they strike out. Like, if you want to sell me that John Mabry, once he came aboard, helped, like, if you want to count.
Who exactly?
But,
who
like, help the staff. Like, if you, like, because the other guy.
Individually, because they had a lost season, so it's all about player development.
No, I hear you.
Jeremiah Jackson?
Yeah. I'm just saying, like, the other guys were in over their head, at least I thought. So John Mabry came in and helped. You could sell me on that, maybe. But you can't. Don't sell me on things were good.
Yeah, arrows pointing up. No. Like, there's a lot to fix.
Like, we talk year over year. Who was a better hitter last year than the year before? Who?
Jackson. That's it.
And he wasn't great.
Yeah, no, he wasn't.
690 OPS.
He's still only 21, 22 years old. I still think there's upside there, but he didn't set the world afire.
No.
again, we have not heard about them letting anybody out of their contract. We certainly haven't heard about any other teams wanting to interview any of their guys on their existing contracts, because, duh, why would they? There hasn't been any other interviews for Manzolino that we've heard of, and we're down to just four teams. And I got news for you. Like, there's nobody on John Schneider's staff who somebody's trying to hire. There really isn't. Like, Brewers, okay. Like, maybe I'll buy that. Dodgers
always have somebody.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But, like, I remain of the mind that it is more likely than not that most of these Mooks are coming back.
Mook. It's a Mookapalooza.
It's the best kind of palooza.
Yeah, baseball playoffs continue, and yet and I guess the Orioles don't want to overshadow the playoffs announcing the manager decision.
That's,
you know, some teams, some teams show class.
Other teams are doing all kinds of
stuff.
Hey,
the Orioles are showing class that other teams don't.
Padres did a Zoom today saying that I don't know whether Schilt really wanted out or not, but
they deny whether or not he's going to get his money.
He
I know
retired
that.
From the Padres, but I'm not sure he's totally retired from managing.
Yeah, maybe Schilt
could
be the next manager.
There's stuff happening in real front offices.
Yeah, Orioles are showing respect to the playoffs.
Right.
That's something that many teams used to do. Old Classy. School baseball teams used to wait to conduct their business when the playoffs were over. They're old school, Jason. Old school analytics.
Since May, they wouldn't be in it.
Yeah,
so,
that's a very good point. Coming up next, though, back to the Ravens. And Derrick Henry rushed for 122 yards on Sunday. The team rushed for over 150 yards. Are we back to thinking this Ravens team can run the football? We'll discuss next here.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
On the Fan.
Yeah, man, I think still a long season. Still got time to win the division and set ourselves up to have a good season. I know we won in five. Doesn't look good as far as pitcher-wise, but still got a lot of games left ahead of us. And like Coach said, we'll get some of our guys back, and let's go see where we land.
Derrick Henry, he says there's still time to win the division. He rushed 24 times for 122 yards. That's 5.1 yards a carry against the Rams on Sunday. So are we feeling better about the run game? Add to that the fact that Lamar Jackson is looming. So his return and the big game on the ground from Derrick Henry. Feeling good about the run game?
Well, you have to feel better about it than you did at most points this season. Outside of
week one.
Yeah, the first three quarters of week one prior to the fumble. Look, they were able to get his legs going 16 times in the first half. That alone is a major accomplishment for this offense. And if or when you're able to do that, good things are generally going to follow. The Rams are a good defensive front. I think they surprised them with some of the runs off tackle, being able to run even especially behind Rosengarten, I think is a bit of a feather in their cap because we know the right side has been problematic, and they were able to do it with Cooper Rush under center for the most part, which is giving you no physical help in the run game. So, yeah, I mean, you have to be enthused by it. With Lamar coming back, it's going to be absolutely pivotal. That it continue, I think it gives them really their, in so much as there is any hope of salvaging something, I think that has to be a bedrock for them. I also would just say, I think even when Lamar was there, we saw what teams with really athletic linebackers and decent to really good defensive fronts were able to do to frustrate this run game. And what we certainly don't know is anything about when Pat Ricard's coming back. And so I'm still from the show me state on this one. Like it's good, it's positive, but it needs to continue.
It definitely needs to continue, and the schedule definitely gives it a chance to, because the Ravens are set to play some pretty horrific run defenses coming out of the bye. The Bears stink against the run, and the Dolphins stink against the run. They're two of the worst run defenses in all of football. What was such a bright spot for me with Derrick Henry in that football game is something we've been talking about a lot, where, yeah, he'll break one, you know, a 20-yarder, and then not. The longest run he had was 12 yards.
Constant churn between exactly. 3 yards and like 9 yards.
Exactly. This isn't like the... This
a lot of fivers.
Yeah. But that's great.
Yeah.
It's the consistency.
It's a winning play.
Exactly. And that's why they were able to have three drives in which 7-plus minutes off the clock, because they were staying ahead of the chains. And Derrick Henry was making guys miss. He had 4 missed tackles in that game. His most missed tackles forced since the season opener. So, yeah, I'm definitely bullish about the run game, at least in the short term following the bye.
Got to feel better, because you couldn't feel worse. Like, going into that game, he was not getting 50 yards a game. And we talked about it, 0 yards before contact. It was bad. And the one reason you have to have pauses, the line stinks. And the line still stinks. I don't care how they spin it. The line's still bad. And Ronnie Stanley, we don't know what that's going to look like coming off the bye. And as Jason pointed out, when's Pat Ricard coming back?
And that's where I was going, where I still have, and how could you not, huge concerns about the short yardage situation. And I think a lot of that is Pat Ricard, where John Harbaugh, not that long ago, it sounded like they were hoping for the Bears game, but then he walked that back on Monday, saying it's up to him and what he can handle with that calf injury. But they got to figure out the short yardage situation, because it's just been horrible.
They practiced today and tomorrow.
Look, it was horrible when everything, like, the offensive line is what it is.
Yeah.
It was horrible when before Ronnie Stanley's latest ankle mystery, right? And before Lamar got hurt, short yardage and goal to go was a disaster. And it's only gotten worse since then. So it's not like Lamar's return magically.
No.
You know, it's not Lucky Charms. It's not now magically delicious.
Oh. Green clovers, blue diamonds.
You think?
They're practicing.
Really interesting plugs. Like
I think the best stuff's honestly been
Sashi,
between. I think
Tucker,
the best stuff's been between while the commercials are airing.
Well, yeah. That's
and now that these cameras are here, it does give me a little pause.
Yeah, probably smart.
Probably should give me even more pause. Yeah. Probably give me a lot more pause than it's given me.
They're not live yet.
We did.
They're live somewhere.
George Warhop, and we'll hear.
I think they're live somewhere.
We'll hear from coaches. Yeah, they can see it wherever those guys are, but,
like public.
Sure.
Yeah. But.
Still can see
one
it.
Degree of separation from becoming
correct.
Public.
It could get leaked. Alas.
That'd be pretty messed up.
Leakage. No bueno.
No. They are practicing today and tomorrow, but they don't have to. They're not going to give us injury reports. George Warhop did. I saw he said that Emory Jones is just starting to do pass pro, which is the first time he's doing that. So there's a build up there, but I doubt, and maybe it will happen, but I doubt anyone's going to volunteer that Patrick Ricard has gotten more intense with his practices. So we'll have to see when they come back next Wednesday.
Yeah, I think Ricard and Ronnie Stanley are now in that sort of nebulous mystery zone where it tends to be the kind of thing that doesn't bring out the best in Harbs, especially on a Friday afternoon. I think there's some explosive potential when he's asked about this again on the other side of this bye. I'm not sure that they're all totally in lockstep in unison about this, but we've been down this road before. We've been down this road with Ronnie Stanley before.
Yeah.
We've been down this road with Rashad Bateman in the past. Like we've been down this road.
And now we're going down the road as well with Patrick Ricard.
We got dueling banjos.
Yeah. But the issue with Ronnie, and look, you appreciate the fact that he's been trying to give it a go, but you can go back to the Chiefs game. What, he lasted a quarter, and then he didn't play the following week against the Texans, and then Sunday he played a quarter. It's tough with these starts and stops. You'd rather him just sit out. You appreciate him trying to gut it out, but...
Well, as Jason said, nebulous is a good word, because Ronnie Stanley tapped out of the game Sunday and just went and sat down. Like, best I could tell, and again, talking to people in the press box, it didn't seem like he talked to a doctor or talked to a trainer.
Who knows his body better than him?
Sure, but if he's hurt, wouldn't somebody go over and talk to him about it?
I mean, we're positive about this because nobody saw it with their binoculars. There's also a game going on.
I don't think he went to the tent.
Has anyone written that narrative? Has anyone put that narrative in print?
I haven't read it anywhere. That's fair, but I didn't see
it. Because I haven't seen anybody report that.
Sure. It's just a weird... It seems like, as you said, we're back to where we were a couple years ago with the ankle.
But that should surprise nobody.
Yeah. He did get through the year healthy a year ago, which shocked us all.
And then the year before that, he didn't. I'm old enough to remember the Rams coming in here the last time. And it being a mystery as to whether he's going to play or not after the bye, and I'm pretty sure he didn't play coming out of that bye against the Rams.
Dude, they were rotating tackles. They were rotating tackles that year for the second half of the season.
Like the idea that this was going to hold at all, let alone be what it was last year, was, again, you can fool yourself like the guy in the warehouse always does, that everything's going to go your way and that this is the year that the baseball or football gods, boy, they're really rooting for you. Smoochie Boochies, man, you're going to catch every bouquet possible. That's not life in the real world.
Who does Smoochie Boochies?
Take the sunglasses off, kid. Do your job.
Who says Smoochie Boochies?
Jay and Silent Bob.
Oh, okay. I haven't seen that movie forever. That's a... Kids don't get that reference.
Jay and Silent Bob. Yeah.
Smoochie Boochies. Yeah. It's not all Smoochie Boochies with this roster.
They were a thing at one point. That was a thing.
And the Ravens roster was once a thing.
Yeah,
a year ago. Ravens run game was once a thing. Yeah.
More recently,
Ronnie Stanley, left tackle, was once a thing.
In the Ravens' defense, they were a thing more recently than Jay and Silent Bob. Much more recent.
That's fine. I mean, is it
like
a
year ago?
I didn't know.
A year ago, the Ravens were.
I didn't know they were running a race.
But I'm just saying,
the Ravens were
a thing a year ago. Now, not so much. But I hear you.
I would say Clerks is a timeless classic, and the Ravens haven't had a timeless classic season in 13 years going on. Yeah. When was Clerks made? Like, it had to be way before that. I was in college. Clerks is in the 90s.
Yeah, Clerks. Clerks was good.
94.
Yeah, Clerks was good.
I haven't seen that either.
And then you had Mallrats. You had the Jay and Silent Bob.
Your little groups would watch that.
Yeah. You had Clerks 2.
I don't watch that.
It was okay.
Just watch Clerks.
It was okay. Mallrats.
Maybe Mallrats.
Jay and Silent Bob movie.
Chasing Amy, you could watch.
Chasing Amy was good. That was good.
Clerks 2 came out 12 years after
Yes.
That was just a money grab.
Yeah, what was the one when, was it Dogma?
Dogma, where the guy, that was good. Dogma, really good. Matt Damon and Ben Affleck were in that one.
Yeah, that was
very good. Kevin Smith movies is where we're going with that. Alas, coming up next, what about the people? How are the people feeling? 410-583.
Feeling good about 3-0 England over Latvia. If you watch,
I doubt any
of
our audiences.
If you're watching WannaBet and you're on that one, we're feeling good about Italy 1-0 over Israel. We're feeling real good about Turkey 3-0 over Georgia. That's how we're feeling over here.
Yeah. They're playing the state of Georgia?
Yes.
No.
Yes. That's exactly what they're doing, Bum. What do people think about the Ravens? 410-583-1057. And I'll throw it out there with this. How would you feel about Ryan Flaherty, next manager of the Orioles? 410-583-1057. We hear from the people next. 410-583-1057. Get the pulse of the people as the Ravens are now in the bye week. They do have assistant coaches talking today. They will practice again tomorrow, and then they're off for the bye, back on the field
Bone
next
was
Wednesday.
On TV last night, or Bone, is that taped? When does that air?
Is it on television or is it online?
Online.
Yeah, and what's the show called, Bum? Promote yourself.
Purple Connection.
And it's
7:30. WJZ.
It's you. It's Grace Grill. It's Alex Glaze. The Goon. Kyle Goon was on there.
He was on last night.
He's on with us later.
Yep.
So that's a good talking Ravens, correct?
That's a big show.
Yeah, it is a big show. Yeah. Every
Monday. You're a regular on that show, correct?
Every week.
Yeah. Were you the only one dropping bombs, ripping people, keeping it real?
Yeah, I mean,
was Goon? Kyle's dropping bombs. He's written some good columns.
Yeah, he wrote
some good columns.
Eric DaCosta. Is this even worth saving?
Yeah,
he was talking about his columns.
Save Sashi.
So let's go out to the phone lines. 410-583-1057. We start with Trippy. Trippy, you're on the Fan.
Hey, what's going on with y'all?
Trippy, I always see you before the game. Are you in that same spot when I come walking to go in the stadium?
I'd be in the same spot before the game and after the game, man. You know, I got to get these players and these coaches a little prep talk.
Mm-hmm. How'd that go?
Well, I mean, I already knew the Ravens was going to lose. I'm going to be real with you, right? I can go up their body language and tell when he was going to lose. Like, the coaches, they, you know what I mean? I don't, man. Hey, but I did want to call, right? Because I'm pushing this agenda right now.
Okay.
Hey, I want to see Falele play D-Tech or something. No,
interesting.
At this point.
Interesting.
You feel me? But
I feel a big guy. He's a big guy.
I'm here for it. Let's get creative.
Here's the problem, though. Let's go down that
it's hypothetical. It's not working where they're playing him.
Let's go down that hypothetical rabbit hole for a minute. He gets pushed around where he is now.
Like, yeah, but you get to do a little bit more pushing the other way.
Yeah.
You get to kind of get a running start sometimes.
Yeah, that's a good point. I like it, Trippy.
I mean, he getting pushed around, but I mean, it's nothing against Michael Pierce. Michael Pierce and, like, Brandon Williams at some point, it was just standing right there. So, I mean, as long as we can get somebody double-team him, maybe it might free it up. But I'm going to say one more thing, right? Look, the Ravens going on a bye this week, right? 9 times out of 10, we know they're not going to fire Harbaugh. They probably ain't going to fire nobody, right? Mm-hmm. But I do want to see one thing, right? Because all they talked about all season, yeah, we got this bad taste in their mouth. Reset. Hello? 1-5 during the preseason. We're going to consider these games preseason games, right?
Yeah, okay.
Next 11 games, let's go out and do our thing. Because guess what? Look, against the Bears, as soon as that starting lineup come out, we going to see if these Ravens real or not. Hello? I'm going to talk to y'all tomorrow, man.
Oh, appreciate it.
You still there? Are you gone?
No, he's gone.
I had a question for him. He gone? You know?
What were we going to ask him?
Yeah, I'm curious.
He's betting soccer with us at WannaBet.
Oh, well, I'm sure. Text, call Ben back.
Ben knows. Does he get on any of our action at WannaBet, Ben? No
action. Yeah, I don't know about soccer.
I got you. Okay.
I want to know what his interaction with Monk has been recently.
Well, apparently, you know, he reads his body language and he has a pretty good feel on how to bet the game.
Yeah. Let's go to Chris in Parkville. Chris, you're on the Fan.
Gentlemen, how's it going?
What's up?
I'm not setting my expectations too high on the Ravens. There are still 11 games.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of work to do.
Yes,
as we all know. Even looking forward to the next year, by year's end, they were already having a whole lot of decisions to make. So it should be pretty interesting. The window to me is rapidly closing before they have to redo the whole thing.
Hey,
we'll see.
Go ahead. Sorry. Oh, I guess
I mean, Lamar is the window, but the idea that they're going to be able to get their buddies in the media to parrot ideas like it's the greatest roster since blah, 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 blah.
Can't say that when you're 1-5.
And I'm just saying next year they're going to have a lot of holes to fill. I don't know that we're going to be hearing that. Now, Lamar with even a mediocre roster, if it's at least an approximation of league average in the trenches to give yourself a fighting chance, okay. Maybe you don't need to have the most first-round picks in the history of any secondary. I'm just saying. You know, maybe might be time to recalibrate how you spend some of your money and build from the inside out again. Might be time to draft nothing but linemen.
Trenches.
But the idea that they're going to be in position to have enough blue-chip players at enough premium positions to be hawking this idea that we don't have to do anything in the offseason because we're already there. I think those days are over.
Grab Ed and Towson. Ed, you're on the Fan.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Look, J-Lock, I'm gonna put you on the Corey Hart, Mike Elias. Oh, yeah, Mike Elias and Corey Hart. I love the way you compared him to. Because, look, I'm looking at that, you know, it's a lineman thing. I'm a line coach.
Yeah.
That fourth and inches they had right there. Yeah, they didn't make it. But here's what I don't understand, and this is a play-calling issue. If you look at that play, you know, at the end, they ran an off-tackle play with the big guy.
Yes.
And they pulled a guard. Now, I know this coach speak, but you never vacate a position when you have people 1 inch away from penetrating the line of scrimmage. It just doesn't – I've never known anybody to call an off-tackle play on the inch line. It just befuddled me. But here's the thing I want you to compare. I hear sometimes you look at Mike Elias and some of the choices he's made, and I get it. Look at the other side. Okay, how do you have so many offensive linemen that you cannot play? I mean, these guys are not very – you know what I'm saying? You feel me? You have to understand And I said this earlier. You got to understand this. You got to get the Carfax on these guys. And if you have to, you feel me?
Well, here's the thing. I think they can always just find them in the mid rounds. But the problem is, they haven't really replaced Bredesen. Like, they haven't really replaced Powers. Like, it takes them a while to develop. A lot of them are late bloomers, and once they develop here, they don't want to pay to keep them, even though they're not exactly knocking the door down. And I'm not one to say you should pay guards, but then you better be able to at least draft guards.
To be fair,
you gotta have some depth. You gotta have some depth, bro.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to keep getting on the Mike Green thing because the kid's a good, he's a decent player. But I'm telling you, and maybe it's because of where they wind up at the end of the year because they're a winning record. But I gotta go. When I draft a guy on the edge, I got to know that he has played against somebody that's probably in the NFL also.
Yeah.
And I'm not hating on anybody's conference. But you may not be able to get Ohio State, but maybe you can get somebody, you know, a Southern, Ole Miss or something like that.
Hey, Owe was Penn State, Ed.
But he didn't sack anybody.
Yeah, but they went big school.
He didn't
even
beat the backup right tackles who are in the UFL.
They went big school.
He didn't get sacks on them.
But obviously, they didn't see a lot of film because if I'd have seen the Joker not getting no sacks, I can't sign him off. So no, you're right. But
Adisa Isaac got sacks. How'd that work out?
Yeah, you're right. I get on some of that. At least I will tell you when I'm wrong.
No,
you know how about those guys?
Yeah, no. Hey, no. Appreciate the call.
No.
By the way, for the record, Ben Bredesen stunk here. He got better once he left. Now Powers was good here.
Yeah, I mean, well.
But
there have been guys who continually leave here.
Illuminor stunk here. He's still in the league.
And play in multiple places.
Yeah.
And they have trouble replacing them on the fly.
You're right.
And when it does click, it clicks 3 or 4 years in, and then they don't want to pay him anymore. And they just think, well, we'll just get another guy in the fourth round. All right.
I know this is really off topic, but does it amaze you guys that Chris Moore is still in the league?
It's amazing. Amazing. Yes. Caught a touchdown last night.
Point of the ball in his helmet.
When he caught that ball last night, my first reaction, is that the same Chris Moore?
Yeah.
You brought up Illuminor in my mind immediately.
I'm watching, I'm watching some game the other day, and Illuminor's playing. I'm like, holy crap, that guy's still in the league.
Yeah. Chris Moore was drafted in 2016.
Yeah, man. Hey, we'll come back. Time for more Bone. Bounce Back Fallback next here on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.